Okay, welcome to the Dogmen Underground podcast. This is Chuck, and I'm just going to have some commentary, and I'll put the video below. It's a Cane Corso YouTube channel that recently did an interview of Tony Scandi of Scandifios and two dog trainers. And the topic was unstable Cane Corsos that are showing up a lot, apparently, from what I understand, that are unstable dogs that have fear issues, and they end up biting their owners and other family members. And so, yeah, that's a real interesting topic. Now, we got out of Cane Corsos for a lot of different reasons. Paper hanging, or just all kinds of unscrupulous type behaviors and having to deal with the other breeders that we decided, okay, that's enough of that. And one of the things was, so let's talk about this because this has come up over the years. As you guys know, and here's the other thing I got to ask about this. So in this podcast, they're talking about bloodlines and particular breeders who are breeding dogs that are biting family members, and yet they won't say what the bloodlines are out of some morality. This is what I don't understand. So out of some sense of high morality, you don't say who the breeders are or what the bloodlines are. I see. Because that's the moral thing to do rather than let the public know what dogs are biting people. I don't understand this not mentioning names thing that seems to be real in vogue at the moment. To me, it seems almost criminal to not say the names if it's definitive. So we came across this. We paid $4,500 for a Corso from Maximo, Max Trans. And as a matter of fact, there's a video on my Rumble channel and on the website here on the puppy page. That's Apollonia, the first Apollonia. And there were issues with the dog. First of all, I was really seriously questioning the purity of the dog because I'm going to go outside here. Halstead's out there. It had some features and some incredible drive, almost like a Malinois, and there were some things that were questionable about the pedigree on the dog, but the main problem with the dog is that just insane fear. For example, wouldn't walk too, normally you let a puppy outside to go and do its business, and they go out in the yard and they go and they do their business. This dog would crap right by the door because it was afraid to, and we lived way out in the country, right? And the dog was growling at me and my wife. Now, and here's what I say to this kind of stuff here. You can't fix this. And I was really glad to see on the podcast that's what they were saying. Because there's this other mythology with dog trainers that they can fix every problem out there. And like I've said for a long time, if a dog's growling at you, that's that dog's personality. That's that dog's temperament. That's its genetic makeup. And yeah, you can do things to try to control it and things like that, but you're not correcting anything there. And what I've done is very much paid attention to weed that kind of stuff out. As you guys know, the two things, one of the two things is that they have to be absolutely... And I have a yard full of non-aggressive dogs towards us. I mean, we can take T-bone steaks out of their mouth and not have to worry about, a dog growling or biting at us. I just won't have it. So anyway, I had that dog and it was growling at us. And I ended up returning it. And interesting that once something they said in the podcast, if someone tells you you got the wrong breed of dog, don't listen to them. You got the wrong breeder. It's funny because Maximo on the phone when I was talking with him and telling him that, hey, man, you know, this is a real issue and I need to return the dog. He said, well, you got into the wrong breed. And I said, no, I think I got into the wrong breeder. Right? like to think that it's normal that your own Cane Corso should be growling at you. Ridiculous. Insane. Just not right. You know what I'm saying? So I've been, you know, the limited time that I've bred Corsos, I've been very, very selective in what we've chosen. And on that account, I have a yard full of good dogs. I got a pretty good eye for picking dogs too. But anyway, so then on the other end, okay, so we had that. I rehomed a dog, Mrs. B. Remember Miss B? I rehomed her, and I'm gonna say names to Jello Vibes or whatever that YouTube channel was with that dog Uzo, right? So I gave that dog away, not to be bred. And the reason is that dog, absolute unstable, cowardice. I mean, you put it in the truck and you have to get a crowbar to get it out from under the seat. Bring it, you know, just really excessive, unstable fear. Again, you can work with a dog like that, right? But you're not, don't think that you're correcting any damn thing. That's that dog's genetic makeup. And no amount of environmental changes are going to correct a genetic makeup in the dog, right? So then he's got the other dog, Uzo, who growls at him, who had bitten at least one other person. I believe it was a UPS or a FedEx guy or something like that. So indiscriminate biting, growling at him and his old lady, right? What does he do? He goes and he breeds. Oh, and it had a spine disease or something like that, Uzo, that dog. So he goes and he breeds Uzo to Miss B. Incredible. And that's exactly the kind of shit they're talking about on the podcast, right? That's not good. That's not good breeding, man. There's a lot to breeding. It's just not hooking dogs up together to make money. It's just not. You know, Mike Ritland said something on one of his early podcasts. He was talking to someone, is there any money in breeding dogs? And Mike said, not if you do it right. And I've always thought about that for years now, you know, not if you do it right. And boy, there's a lot to be said to that. If you get into dog breeding to make money, to make a living, it just, I see that it leads to problems. You get into a point where you got a yard so full of dogs that you have to sell, you know, $3,000-$4,000 worth of puppies every single month just to float the food bill, right? You get stuck into this puppy peddling thing there, and therefore, or people get into breeds that are, you know, they switch breeds. If the Frenchies are popular and you get $5,000 for those walking vet bills, then you crank those out, right? Just all kinds of unscrupulous stuff in the dog world. So I guess what is happening is there's a bunch of Corsos out there. Now they're saying it happens in every breed, and I agree with that. But it seems to be a problem with Corsos. Someone had mentioned Senza, and I don't know if I could. I don't know if that's who Tony was talking about, because he said she. I don't think so, because he's sold her a lot of dogs. She's got a lot of his bloodlines. Well, let me also say, Tony knows how to breed dogs. I'm not saying Tony doesn't know how to breed dogs. I'm just saying that Tony, you can trust his word for about as far as you could throw him. I mean, he won't blink to hang papers and do all kinds of stuff for money. But anyway, that's why we got out of it, you know. I got thousands of dollars of Tony's frozen in a freezer here still. So I've had my go-rounds with them and the paper hanging and all that. But, yeah, you know, it's interesting to hear that there's a problem with the Corsos. And they're not a dog to be trifled with, man. That's a problem. That's why I've always taken this very, very seriously. And done my best to, I really want good dogs for myself. My goal really wasn't to make money. I was hoping that the breeding could sustain, and it really doesn't. You have, at some point, you got to make a decision. Either I really get into this and I start getting a bunch of dogs so that it can make a little bit of profit, or I stop breeding and just kind of deal with what I got. And so we decided to stop breeding and to deal with what we got. We have plenty of dogs for ourselves. They're good dogs. We had to put Buster down. You know, we had to have him put down. His hips were absolutely horrifically terrible. Hated to do it. I mean, there's a lot of sorrow in breeding. You know what I'm saying? You have to make decisions. In every single way, that dog was the pick of the litter. Intelligence, temperament, drive, his physical appearances. I mean, just a great dog. It almost makes me want to cry, to tell you the truth. Not almost, it does make me want to cry. To have to make a decision like that, you know. But that's how it is, you know. And, you know, that came from Gertie, more than likely. And we kind of think we probably, you know, we went back and forth with Gertie. And there you go, Patrick Hall, Alpine Lions Borbles, you know. Totally unscrupulous breeder. Just rip people off, crank out dogs with heart murmurs, and selling puppies with parvo. You know, Max Tran sending us home with that poor Papa, right? And he knew damn well that there was a dog. I drove all the way out to California to go pick that dog up. And the animal was abused at his place. And we ended up having him put down. What a sad thing, because what a great, mellow, kind, gentle soul was Papa. But just terrible, terrible hips. Incredibly terrible. And he was deaf. So just, you know, we got really kind of turned off. And these were a lot of the major breeders. You know, you're dealing with Scandifios, right? And the guy's a lie. Paper hanging, criminal activity, all kinds of crazy shit. It's like, oh my God, man. So this is the godfather of the Corsos? This is the guy? Okay. All right, I guess it's what, you know, this type of dogs, I guess, draws that type of person or something. I don't know, you know, or money. I don't know what it is. But so, yeah, interesting podcast there about trainers running into a lot of unstable Corsos. And I'm not surprised at all. As a matter of fact, I've been screaming about that for quite a while. And again, I've done my best in my short time of breeding the Cane Corso. I've done my best to breed family-friendly dogs, you know, things that you can have in your home. Not looking, you know, one of the things, Max Trans, his goal when he told me out there was to be the largest Corso breeder in the world. And a lot of his market if he's still in business, I don't know, but professional sports players who pay, you know, like 10 grand and shit for a dog. And what they're looking for, I guess, is those bad temperament dogs that growl, I guess, because of their testosterone levels. I don't get it, why they want dogs like that. But when we returned that Appy, he had told me that someone returned a litter mate for the same thing. So there's one kennel that I know, and it's one of the major kennels. It's not like some backyard breeder. This is in Silicon Valley. I used to call them the Silicon Valley dogs eating old Roy, right? Because I went there to go see Oreo, right? A dog that I was interested in. And when I got there, while it's a beautiful, it's in the Silicon Valley, it's in California, a very wealthy area, and he's walking me through this indoor kennel place, real nice, heated and air-conditioned, and I noticed there's piles of liquid shit in all the kennels. And then I was really amazed at Oreo, and what was the other dog that I was looking at there? I can't remember. But how nasty their skin was, their fur. And so as I was, I was there to pick up Papa that time. That's right. I'd been out there twice. I asked him on the way out, I go, hey, man, what do you feed the dogs? He goes, oh, we get dog food by the pallet, whatever's on sale, including Old Roy. And I thought, oh, okay. Wow. You know, but that's a dog. That's why. And then I started, you know, telling people, sometimes you're better off getting a dog from a, I guess if we're a backyard breeder, you're better off getting a dog off of someone like us. You know, we don't have any, but I mean, because, you know, we're not doing that kind of shit. You know, we actually want good, stable dogs and physically, mentally, all that kind of stuff. So it's interesting to hear that that's what's going on with the Corsos. And again, let me throw a couple names out there. You know, there you go, Max Trans. I know that there's unstable dogs. I know for a fact I returned one. And I guess word has gotten out that there are a lot of unstable dogs coming out of that kennel and off of those bloodlines. So that's, you know, the buyer, there's no crime in saying the name. I mean, if it's true, it's not defamation or anything like that. You know, if it's true, the buying public needs to know. That's, you know, that's what I think with all this stuff. You know, like if I make and say something about somebody's, you know, say, oh, I got the greatest protection dogs in America, and they're running away playing with the sleeve, and you can't get the damn things to be aggressive towards a human being. You know, I think the general public should be made aware that that's not actually what's going on. But I don't know what it is without saying names. But so I don't know if Senza is producing unstable dogs because I think most of her, I haven't watched her channel literally in years, so I have no idea. But she had pretty family, non-aggressive dogs, I had thought. But maybe not. And I know she's got a lot of Tony stuff over there. Which I thought was funny because Tony's got a lot of boxer and all kinds of shit mixed in his dogs. But anyway, there you go. There's the world for you. But that's my commentary on the unstable Corsos. And that's my two cents. That's why I don't even deal with it anymore, man. I'm into training. I want real dogs for good people living in bad places.